Why don't we all stand together? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, it's with joy that we take the opportunity, Lord, to just quiet our hearts before you this morning. And Lord, allow the truth of your word to settle in on us. And Lord, to ponder the joy in our hearts because of salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these illustration here that was given to us this morning. Lord, would you cause us to be a light for you, Lord. We desire our heart and our lives, Father, to flow out, Lord, with your love, with your spirit on others, that others would see, not us, but the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're not worthy of that, and we don't understand how all of that works, but Lord, we do. We're so overwhelmed with your love and your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for this time this morning. I pray for the preaching of the word here this morning, that you would you speak to us again, Lord. Father, just pray that you would quiet my trembling heart and just be able to just share the word that you've laid on my heart this morning. Father, we bless you. We want to just lift you up this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Well, my thoughts this morning were drawn towards the last few days, actually, the mercy of God on us. And thought of a scripture here, a few verses out of Lamentations, where he said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. You know, and as we just stop and we look back over the last days and weeks and months and even years of our lives, we see many, many times we see the faithfulness of God just many over and over and over again, in watching over us and directing our life and orchestrating the things in our life, the places we went, the things that happened there. Many times we just see the faithfulness of God. And, you know, many times when we're in the thick of, you know, the thick of the fight, as it seems, we don't see and we don't understand, and things are uncomfortable for us. And then we get out of the woods a little, and we get away from the thick of things, and we look back and we see, oh, look at what God did. The faithfulness of God, how he protected us and how he took care of us and how he led us and just moved in our life and our family and on our fellowship and so many of those things. And this morning I just want to ponder some of our response to the mercies of God. You know, what do we do in response to this faithfulness that God has to us, the mercy that he has on us and our families? You know, we're all here and we're all breathing this morning. And, you know, a fine time of a wonderful time of worship. And we have life this morning. Isn't God good? You know, it's we're in God's hands. And he chose to give all of us life this morning. You know, thinking back, you know, sometime I was thinking of world events a bit the last days. And thinking back to that, you know, 9/11, you know, the world, some things at least in the world changed. And we're basically unscathed, you know, by that. The only, you know, there's a few things, the war on terror and a few of those things have changed. And, you know, there's little that we notice except for, you know, we now have to take our shoes off at the airport and a few of those things. You know, we don't notice that a lot is really different. You know, it brought about a lot of turmoil and different things that took place. you know, and security measures and so on, and the way that the world looked at issues and the way that the world looked at world of terrorism. Yet for us, it basically is unchanged. We are not touched very much by that. You know, and I see the many people that were killed that day, you know, as those airplanes run into those towers and people in those towers that yet all of us were still alive. You know, that could have happened somebody could have well set off a bomb somewhere much closer to where we are. You know, something could have happened easily that would have affected all of us, but we're basically not affected. In many ways. Yet it was a huge thing that took place in the world that we live in. You know, just a few weeks ago, there were many, I think over 500 men, women, and children that were ruthlessly killed, you know, by Muslim extremists that were out just slaughtering the Christians. Don't even remember where that was. Nigeria, yes. And I remember, but I remember reading about that a few weeks ago and thinking about how that the country where they're living and what they're facing, you know, the slaughter that was taking place. Here we are, unscathed, you know, by those things in this country that we live in. There are some other things that we're not unscathed by sleepiness and lukewarmness, but in this country, but that's another message. But then I thought of the earthquake in Haiti, you know, as well back in January. And there were hundreds and thousands, you know, 200 and some thousand known people that were buried in mass graves. You know, and here right in the middle of that, we had, that day there was a team of eight missionaries there, and right in the very center of that, unscathed. You know, just God took care of them perfectly. You know, and we look at that and we say, God, why does all of this happen? When 200,000 other people lost their lives, why is it, how is it, how does it work that there are just eight white people, eight white missionaries that God spared here that day? The mercy of God, you know, on His people. We have people that drove many miles to come here this weekend, you know, for this wedding. Many miles were driven to come here and spend time here. You know, they came by car and airplane and, you know, just about, you know, many different of those ways. And God protected us. Here we are. Wedding's over, you know, and they're happily married. The mercy of God, you know, on us. Friday morning, you know, the accident in Kentucky claimed 11 people with the truck driver's lives. Here we are, all of us are here this morning. We're all alive. Our families are alive. You know, we have these folks in Kentucky. They were on the way to a wedding, traveling to a wedding, probably, I'm sure that they had very little thought of the fact that, you know, when they left home, that in an hour and a half from now, you know, we'll have left this life for a better one. Didn't think about that. I just doubt it. The mercy of God on us. You know, we're alive today. What do we do in response to this love and this mercy that God has for us? Now, I want to also say these 10 that when God does choose to call us home, that's also the mercy of God on us to take us to a better place, to take us home to be with Himself. When we're a born again child of God that loves the Lord Jesus and He decides to take us home, that's the mercy of God too. You know, and one day that'll be for the rest of us. You know, but in the meantime, we're all driving. We're all going to a wedding. You know, there's an invitation given for the rest of us to go to a wedding. You know, and it's farther away than Iowa and somewhere else, but there's a wedding that's planned that we're invited for. We're invited to this wedding, and every one of you this morning as a child of God, you know, we're invited there. We're driving there. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know how exactly we're going to get there, but we're going there. We're making plans for that with anticipation. But as you ponder all of these things and catastrophes that happened, have you ever just wondered, Lord, why was it them? Why wasn't it us? We've just driven miles, you know, through the night, you know, going somewhere. And, you know, and I sometimes ask myself, Lord, how did it happen that you spared us? Why did you spare us? You know, but you took another family home. You know, it's because God isn't finished with us yet. You know, there's a wedding that we're going to, that we're planning to, but God isn't finished with us here yet. There's work to be done. So there is, He pours out His mercy on us to keep us burning and going till the time when we're to go to that wedding. We're to show up at the time when the place is set there for us. You know, and so our response here, our response to this wedding or to this this mercy of God, you know, how do we respond? You know, and I'd like to just spend a little time now looking at, you know, the response that we should be having, that God really, I believe, wants us to have in light of the fact that He is pouring His mercy and His grace on us every day. And my mind went to a verse here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. If you would turn there, there's one scripture that I'm going to pull out of the middle of this chapter here, verse 47. Then I'm going to go to Matthew 5. Acts 13, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, he was speaking here to Paul and Barnabas as they were preaching the gospel and they were running into some difficulties and so on. And he said to them there, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. This is often used as a missionary passage, a missionary sermon that is, you know, given to someone that is, you know, maybe going overseas to the other, all ends of the earth, is kind of what we automatically think of. But I believe it's for us right here. It is a passage for us that with in response to the mercy that God has given us, that we are a light, a living light to the world around us, that they would see Jesus in us. Now, if we would turn to Matthew chapter 5, and here very familiar again to you is this example of the light, you know, I'll start in verse 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I'll stop there. Ye are the light of the world. When we see what God has given us, when we see and consider the very breath that God gives us and everything else that goes with it, you know, our response out of a love relationship for our Father should be to set out to be that light that He wants us to be to a lost world, to the world that is around us. You know, as you think of a light, you know, it talks here about a city that is set on a hill. You know, and it's when the city is all lit up, the lights are turned on, you know, it's something that it's obvious for miles. You know, and we see that light and we recognize right away, there's a city there. There are people that live there. And we can see how large it is or how small it is or, you know, many things can be observed there. But it cannot be hid, the Bible says. You know, and in response, you know, to this mercy that God has for us, there should be a something should be flowing out of our lives that cannot be hid. You know, I think sometimes we see this as an on and off switch. You know, we turn it on when we want to and we turn it off when we want to. But it's not that way. There should be a something flowing out of us that is an automatic, that when the lights are turned on, you can see it. It's not something that should easily be turned off. It's there. It's part of your life. It flows out of your life. And it comes automatically because of what God is doing. And you're grateful. Your heart is bubbling over with joy and with gratitude and with thanksgiving. And so we're allowing this light of the love of Christ to flow out of our lives. These things don't just happen. They're something that they're there because the Spirit of God is there. And because He flows out of our lives that way. And another one in Acts 13, he says specifically there, again, I'll read that. I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. I have asked thee. I have sent thee. I have petitioned thee, or I have charged thee. You're to be that light for salvation to the ends of the earth. You know, it's not to be a light for someone just to see how I do things. It's not a lifestyle that we're trying to show off. It's not something that we're trying to go on promote. We're not a salesman. We're not trying to promote a certain way that I do this, or a certain way that I maybe dress, or a certain way that I car that I drive, or any of those things. But it's salvation. It's Jesus. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's a relationship, you know, that we have with Him. And as a lost, hurting world is looking on, they see Jesus. And that's our heart this morning, that in response to this mercy and this love that God has shed on us, isn't it right that we in turn just turn the light on for Him? You know, that people can see Him in our life, in our response. He wants us to be that light to the Gentiles. He wants us to be showing that salvation to all ends of the world, all ends of the earth. And that starts right here at home. You know, it starts right here. The Word. One of the things that I think of here is in this light that we're called to be to the ends of the world is that we have the Word of God is lived out in our lives, that we really believe and really do what we say we do. That the Word of God, you know, can be lived in our lives in such a way that they see it very clearly. And, you know, there's the Apostle Paul, he at one point in Galatians, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel of God. You know, it was obvious that some of them were backing away from the gospel. Some of them were coming up with their own theology, maybe. I'm not sure what all was happening. But there was evidently something there that was vacillating back and forth a little. And he said, oh, I'm scared for you guys. I'm scared for the way that you are so soon, so quickly removed. You know, that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to have the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just on our lips, but lived out for a world to see. You know, we don't hide lights very easily. I remember some years ago, I was in Manitoba, and it's very flat there. And my family was there, and we were driving, and I saw lights coming. I saw a light and I said to the boys, let's see how long it takes for us till we meet each other. And we were driving, I think, 60 miles an hour, and it took 8 minutes till we met each other. You know, I saw him for a long time. I thought, wow, surely he'll be here soon. But I just saw the light out there, but it took a long time, 8 minutes for him to get there. And we're both, you know, going towards each other. But I did see the light. And I saw him for a long time. You know, does the world see a light of Christ Jesus in you? You know, if Jesus, or if your life, if the way you live, if your theology, if your practice, if your radiance, your relationship that comes out of your life, if it is the only Christ that the world sees, would they want Him? You know, that's a question we must ask ourselves. If our life were the only Christ,
Would we? Would the world want him? But you know, another part of his mercy is while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we were yet sinners, when we were a mess, when we were without hope in the world, what do we do with people that are that way? Where is our mercy? Where is our grace on people that are a mess? You know, sometimes we're just that way. You know, sometimes, excuse me maybe for using that terminology, but you know, sometimes we're confused sometimes. And God reaches down in His mercy and He puts His arm around us and He gently leads us to where we need to be. That's the light of the world is Jesus, and it needs to be that way towards others. You know, there's someone else that is confused. The light of the world says, put your arm of compassion around him and leads him out of his confusion and loves him all the while that you're doing it. It's Jesus. That's Christ in us. It's the light of the gospel that can't be hid. There's another scripture that talks about lights. In Philippians 2, 15 and 16, he says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In response to what God has done for us, His mercy is new. It's sweet. It's real. It's right. His relationship is there right with us. And in our response to that is we allow His love to shine as lights in our hearts. Yes, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, in the middle of very difficult times, in the middle of struggles, in the middle of heartaches, you know, in the middle of many things that face us that we sometimes scratch our head and wonder, where is this all going to end up at? Yet we always go back to the Christ. Our feet on the rock. And finding ourselves, drawing our strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. Holding the word of life. You know, we can't go wrong as long as we hold the word of life. You know, Jesus said, you know, it's in John, you know, where he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's God. You know, there's no one else that can say that. You know, there's many other religions out there. There's sun gods and moon gods and Islam and many other things. But it's the Word of God is the only one that is life. There's spirit out there and many spirits. But there's only one that is life, that is sharp and quicker than any two-edged sword. And we can live by it. You know, we can take this book and live by it and use it for every detail of our life. Holding forth the Word of life. You know, and with the mercy of God that He has showered on us, that He daily gives us, here it's only our right responsibility that we live by this word of life that He has given us. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. You know, and some of that rejoicing is now. We heard about that joy this morning. You know, if we're a child of God, some of that day of Christ is right now that we can rejoice in. And some of it comes in a more fuller sense when He calls us home to be with Himself. You know, I think of many that spend their entire lives building a certain organization or a business. You know, some people maybe in sports or maybe just some kind of physical business endeavor of some kind that they're going on. They spend their entire lives doing it. You know, and it brings little satisfaction. But holding forth the word of life brings satisfaction. Turning on the light bulb of the Lord Jesus in your heart for others to see. It's not about an organization. It's not about the name that's hanging on the front of the church. It's about a person. You know, and if we can let people know that, you know, if we can let the people know that it's about the person of Christ, I fear many times that in our evangelism and our going out and maybe on the street or our approach to endeavoring to bring a soul to Christ and share the gospel with them. I fear so many times that we almost think almost that we have to hit them over the head with this book to make them to listen. But you know, if they could just see it in us. You know, I had a man tell me once, he said, I don't need you coming to my door and giving me all these papers. He said, I don't need you coming to the door and telling me and trying to convince me all these things. But he said, oh, I just want to see a person, to watch a person live like Jesus. You know, there's an open heart. He was looking for something. He was looking for a people that have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wasn't looking for someone to try to convince him of something, but he wanted to see something. You know, and I believe that is a lot of what the world is really longing to see, is to see some people that are following Jesus. You know, that have an attitude of the Spirit, this relationship, the Spirit of Christ that flows through His life, through their lives. This light that we're talking about, this light of the world, in response to the mercy of God on our lives. You know, it's also one of those, part of that is forgiveness. Part of it is forgiveness. You know, Brother Paul mentioned the joy, you know, that comes with forgiveness. You know, and there's also a joy that comes with the ability to forgive others. You know, and without Christ, we cannot forgive others. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, present in our lives, we cannot forgive others. It just doesn't come out right. It's just a very temporary fix. You know, we can kind of let someone go their way and send them on their way and just kind of ignore somebody. But we cannot forgive right. We can't forgive unless Christ really is in working in and through us. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it says, this is what God wants to do to us. He says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And you know, that's what a joy it is for us to have forgiveness of sins, to know that our sins are forgiven. You know, there's two things, two aspects to that. We could have the body of sin, the nature of sin that follows us around or till we find Christ. And then we have also the sins that we have personally committed. We can know that they are forgiven. And yes, that brings a joy to our hearts. But to live as Christ lived, to be the light that He wants us to live, is He wants us to be able to in turn forgive others that way. The way that we were forgiven, He wants us to forgive. He wants us to just turn them loose. Let them go. Forgive them. Set them free. And what a pleasure it is. You know, the lights go on. The light can't be hid when we can forgive as Christ forgave us. You know, and it's hard to forgive people sometimes, sir, especially when, you know, sometimes people do things to us and say things to us. Sometimes people we love, people we respect sometimes say something and, you know, and they may mean it or not mean it. And it's very difficult. Yet, you know, it's very necessary for us to say, I forgive you. I let you go. That's what He did. You know, while we were in sin, He gave Himself. He forgave us. He set us free. What joy that comes. You know, and it's part of turning the light. You know, when the world sees that we're able to forgive, that's a major testimony. A major testimony. And forgiveness doesn't always feel warm and fuzzy. You know, sometimes forgiveness doesn't want to come easy. And sometimes we have to do it again. And we have to do it again. And we have to do it again. But it brings such a release in our spirit. It makes so that the light shines and others can see. And specifically those that we have forgiven. You know, and as we think about our practice of non-resistance, it's easy to think about it in terms of going to war, not fighting, not killing someone, not taking a life, you know, but it comes much closer to home. It comes to a place where we have to someone has spoke, you know, harshly to us and we have to make a choice, forgive them. Let that forgiveness be a very real part of our lives so that our light is not affected. In fact, that the ones that we forgave, that they can see something happened. Why did you do that? And I've already had someone ask me, you know, why did you do that? Why did that happen? And I said, it was because I forgave you. So this morning, part of the light that we can look at is the forgiveness of our sins, but also the ability to forgive others. Another part of that light is Christ gives us rest for our souls. You know, as we forgive others, as we set those records straight in our lives, He gives us a rest. You know, he says these words, and it's a very familiar verse to all of you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, can we give others rest? You know, do we give someone else rest for their soul? Sometimes we see someone is carrying a heavy burden. You know, think of, again, we can go back to like the Roman soldier, don't just carry his bag for a mile, but carry it 2 miles, you know, and some of those things, give them rest. You know, what about a person here in your fellowship? You know, maybe see someone, you know, someone is really struggling. You know, the light of Christ, you know, would say, can you just go to that brother or sister and give them rest? You know, encourage their hearts, pray for them, you know, and maybe write them a note of encouragement, you know, or maybe just spend some time alone in your closet that they don't ever find anything about and ask God to give them rest. You know, Christ gives rest to us. He gives rest to our souls when we're weary, when we're burdened down and we feel like we can't go on anymore. We again go back to the Father and we pray and we seek God and He gives us rest. Again, for our souls. And we need to do the same thing. The way He gives us rest, we need to give it to others. We need to turn that thing right around. And what God has done to us, we give it to everyone else. Give rest to them. You know, and lift a weary burden. Sometimes just a word of encouragement. But give rest. It's a light that cannot be hid. It's a city that cannot be hid. That's setting high on a hill. Another one is cleansing and justification. This is very similar to forgiveness in a sense. But, you know, again, I like to look at it from this perspective because I see the mercy and grace of God in it again. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 says, such were some of you, but you are washed. We weren't washed. We weren't clean when we didn't start out that way. But ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, we are washed. We are cleansed. We are clean. You know, and God looked down on us. He washed us. He cleansed us. He looked down on us and He says, you're washed. You're clean. You're justified. You know, and the very simple analogy that I often use, although I think it's very weak probably, is on the word justification, just as if I never sinned. I think it's a lot deeper than all that. But as I look at it from that perspective, you know, just as if I never sinned. What about a brother among us that stands up and gives us an apology and asks for forgiveness and confesses his need? Is he justified by us? Is he just as if I never sinned to us? That's what Christ did. That's how Christ did it for us. He looked at us and we found cleansing and freedom, justification by faith through His Word. Now, in turn, our grace needs to flow out when someone says, hey, I wronged you. I was wrong. And they confess their need. And then that's where our justification comes from. And we treat him as a brother. It was just as if it didn't happen. It's the grace and the mercy that flows out of Christ Jesus, out of our lives. It's a light that cannot be hid. You know, can we do it that way? These are just very, they're not new things. They're just very simple, practical elements of the Christian life that need to flow out of us if Christ, our Redeemer, is really there the way He says. It needs to just be that part of our life. And that justification is also, it's more than just as if I'd never sinned. It's the power of God coming, working in and through our lives, giving us the victory to live above sin. It's not just like something was just washed away that it wasn't there, but it's also the power to live above it, to go beyond. Victory, the power of God, victory over sin. And, you know, it's another testimony for us that we can have. We live in a world that is full of corruption. It's full of debauchery and sin. You know, things we don't dare or even want to talk about here this morning. And yet, if we can live a life that is untouched, the world says, why? How do you do this? Why is it this way? It's because I love God. It's because we love Him. And our love for Him is just a response of how much He loved us. So out of that response, we're loving the Lord Jesus. Then I also like to say that part of this is the power to open our mouth for the gospel. It's the power. It's a light that shines out. And not only opening our mouth, but in example. You'll remember if you go back here to Matthew, he had read that scripture there where he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Your good works are not necessarily they're not the key point here. The key point here is that your light, the Lord Jesus, is shining. Lord Jesus is present. It's Him. It's out of that relationship with Him. There are works that are being shown. There are fruit that is being seen. Fruit is clearly being seen as hanging on the tree as fruit that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and they're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of those things. You know, in Romans, again, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, and when God has done all these things for us, we shouldn't be ashamed of it. He brought us eternal life. He brought us salvation through Christ Jesus. You know, forgiveness of our sin. You know, and all of you have different testimonies of how that you were walking, you know, with God, or you're walking through your life before you met God, and, you know, corruption and sin and all of those things. And yet God came down and He met you there, you know, and He brought salvation to your house. You know, He says in another place that if we're going to be ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. Yes. You know, and that's where are we? You know, and, you know, we might say, well, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. But are you ashamed to be a little different than everyone else? Is that hard for us? You know, it's not hard for the world to be different. You know, it's not hard. You know, you see them standing out in front of the stores with their, you know, their professionally ripped, you know, blue jeans that I'd be ashamed to wear. You know, and they're not embarrassed. What about us? You know, we shouldn't be embarrassed. Just live a life, you know, just what God wants you to do in all modesty and holiness and godliness. And we don't have to be ashamed. God is there. God meets us there. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, are we willing to take the power of the gospel, you know, to a lost world? And here again, I'm not talking about taking it to a lost world in a foreign country or any of those things, or going off to a street work somewhere. I'm talking about our everyday life. Just the way you live, the way you do business. You know, can you take the gospel of Christ to the person? Will he see Jesus in your business? Or does he see us as a Scrooge? You know, we're people that we want the best deals, you know. And we want the freebies and the handouts, and we're always looking to save a dollar. And, you know, and I believe with all my heart, it's good for us to be frugal. It's good for us to be careful of our money, that we don't spend it unwisely. But I wonder sometimes how far the other way on the pendulum that goes to simply becomes to a place that we're just simply
a Scrooge that can't get along, can't do money any other way. And, you know, we run, drive so hard of a bargain. Some of the bargains that get driven in the name of Christianity burden me. You know, when people get taken advantage of and so on. And I certainly wonder, you know, what God says about all of that. You know, some time ago here in Haiti, Brother Michael had his chicken stolen. And they found out that here the man stole them while they were away. And he took them to a local market and he wanted... He tried to sell these three chickens for $150. And the man that he was trying to sell them to, he right away said, well, that's way too much money. $150 isn't even close to what three chickens are worth. And so the man, and he was starting to get a little nervous, so he said, okay, $45. I'll sell them for $45. You know, and I think I'm afraid that most of us, you know, would have said, $45, that's a real deal. Of course I'll buy your chickens. And this man said, $45, and you asked $150, and now $45, these aren't even your chickens. You stole these chickens. I can't buy these. And I wonder how many of us would have said, amen. We would have said, oh, a deal. Wow, let's get them. Let's buy them quick. You know, I think sometimes that money is more of a god than we think. So let us be careful in this doing of our business, that it doesn't blow off the other end somewhere and we actually do something that seems so innocent, but yet Christ isn't shown in our life. These things are very subtle little issues. I remember some years ago when a man went to a garage sale and he found a chainsaw at this garage sale. This was an Anabaptist man. And he saw this chainsaw. It was a big chainsaw, pretty new. And an old man had it, and he just retired, and he didn't have a lot of money. He was selling us some things to try to just raise a little bit, get a little income, you know, to survive. And he had $100 on his chainsaw, and it was probably easily worth $200-$300, you know. And an Anabaptist man came in there, and he looked at that, and he said, "Would you take $50?" And I say, God help us. There's something wrong with us when that happens. It's not just a good deal. It's money has us on the other end. It's an end that we don't often think about. God help us that we are a light. You know, it's Christ. Would Christ do such a thing? You know, would Jesus come in? And he wouldn't take advantage of people like that, of poor people. God has, he says many things about poor people in Scripture. You know, yet we drive very hard bargains. The light bulb, the light that you have as a believer in your community, you know, is it a response to the mercy of God? Is it in response to the love that Christ has for you? The love that He has shown you, the forgiveness that He has shown you? Does it show to the people that you're dealing with, that you work with? Does that forgiveness, that cleansing, that joy, does it show through? You know, Brother Paul talked about that joy, and it's very much to be a part of a believer. And, you know, does it show through as that light that can't be hid? And such a beautiful part where God comes in and gives us that rest and that joy for our souls. All right, another part is this light is faith. You know, the light of faith. You know, we live in difficult times, and there are many areas that we can exercise faith. And, you know, faith in God ultimately, but faith to move ahead in uncertain times. Faith to, you know, to be able to walk without wavering. Just walking without wavering. Not knowing what all of the future holds. Not knowing everywhere that you're going.
not knowing every detail about your life or that's going to happen in the future, but walking forward in faith with your confidence set on Him. Some of the things that we do don't always make sense to us. You know, I'm a person that I like to kind of make sense out of things. 2 and 2 should equal 4 and all of that. And I should be able to look at that and make some sense out of the detail before I move forward. But, you know, there are some spiritual things. There are some things in life that we look at and it doesn't quite make sense. Yet we know God says, go. Just go there. Reminded of that, again, of that phrase, you know, whatever He says, do it. You know, heaping coals of fire on someone's head doesn't make a lot of sense. But in God's economy, it's the only one that works. You know, there are many times that those things happen in life that we have to do those things. They make sense in God's economy. But maybe to us, they don't always make sense. But when we can move and live that way, you know, the world looks on and they say, what happened? It's only a normal response. It should be a normal response from the life of a believer. I have to look at Abraham a little bit here in Hebrews as he walked by faith. It says, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, he didn't know exactly where he was landing, but he did know that he was following God. That part he knew. And that part we know. We know that we're following the Lord Jesus. The route that He's going to take us to the end, we don't understand all of that. But we do know that at the end of this thing, there is eternal life. There is salvation. There is heaven. There is and everything else that goes with it. And we are following Him. We believe Him completely. And we're willing to go through thick and thin to get there. By faith He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with Him of the same promise. There was a little fellowship going on here. And He dwelt, it says, in a... He sojourned, He walked in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He was walking, moving. This was normal life. This was everyday normal life. There wasn't anything unusual about this, except it wasn't home to Him. He had a better one that He was going for. And He didn't know all of these details. And it's just like us. We're living here. This is home to us. This is life. But we don't live here. There is a higher authority or a higher power that we're bowing to, that we're moving because He works inside of us. Because He lives here, so we walk in a different walk and we're under a different authority because we're going somewhere else. We have a better country, much better country than the one we live in. And don't get me wrong, I am very grateful for the country that we live in. There are many things in our country that we wonder about that seem to be going backwards at a very fast rate of speed. But we're all meeting here this morning. We're meeting this morning and no one came in here and disrupted our service. None of us probably will be thrown in jail today for this. Is that the mercy of God for us? You know, there are many places this morning that people aren't doing what we're doing. They're out under trees and barns and in the dark and cold and rain and whatever else, so they can have some time together with a brother or a sister. You know, they might even have just in some cases a page of the Bible. Just a page. Maybe in some cases it's by memory. Do we stop and think about that very much? Is it the mercy of God on us or what? God has been good to us. Has maybe God has been too good to us. God is so good to us. As you consider that thing, thankfulness, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of service needs to be rising up. Needs to be rising up out of our heart as we consider this mercy and that God has showered on our life. Abraham wasn't satisfied where he was, though he was sojourning, though he was dwelling in tabernacles. He had a tent to live in probably, and he had a comfortable place, but it said he's not satisfied there. He was looking, he says he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That word looked is an active word. It's not just a laid back, he's kind of keeping his eyes open, or every once in a while he reads about it, or he might think about it every, 6 months. But Abraham was actively looking. Walking by faith, looking to seeing if, where God will take him. I am looking for a better country. I'm looking for a country whose builder and maker is the God of heaven. And that's what our response is supposed to be. For the mercy that God had on us. That we are looking for that other country. That heavenly kingdom that God has waiting for us. I'll keep reading. As we think of faith in this walk that we're on. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This morning, do we see those promises afar off? Or is there a certain portion of them that is nigh in our hearts? That we have Abraham, he was back there looking ahead through time, seeing a Messiah, seeing a king that was coming. We can see much clearer the picture now. We see the Christ. We see the sacrifice. We see the forgiveness of sins. We see the promise of eternal life. We see that fulfilled from prophecy. And he was looking at them from a distance. We're looking at them because they're in our hearts. They're reality. They're born here. They took root here. Something took place in our hearts when the Lord Jesus came in. And it's not just a looking somewhere down the line hoping for a Messiah. It's now we know there's a Messiah. There is a Redeemer and he lives here. And if he lives here, there's a light that should go on. The electricity's turned on now. There's power, there's charge. And it's a light that the world can see that cannot be hidden. It has to be that way. Now, will we embrace them? It says they saw them afar off. We see them close by. We see them as in our hearts. And we were they were persuaded of them. Are we persuaded of them? Do you know that it's true? Do you know that it's the only way? And it is the only way. And he embraced them. And they were confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They embraced them. Have we embraced them? Have we embraced the truth that God has for us? God has so much in store for us. Yet in the middle of life, there's so much difficulty. It's so easy for us to focus on those things. So easy for us to, we get bogged down by all the normal things, that take place in life. But I want to encourage us this morning, let's set our sights above there. Let's set our sights high above those things and see Jesus. Yes, we look back and we see the difficulty and that happens around us, but we see also the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, in His power. We see the leading. We see the forgiveness. We see the peace and the rest that He brings us. And it causes us to lift up our hands and move forward in the joy of the Lord. It causes us to move forward and walk the way He wants us to walk. With knowing that our light is, we're going to shine our light for a lost world around us. It's far too easy for us to get distracted. And let's purpose in our hearts. Let's embrace the truth of these words. Let's embrace the fact that Christ died for us by faith, and we're walking with Him, or we're walking with Him by faith. And, and there was a confession made here. There was that Abraham made, and these other men, Noah and Enoch and all of these. There's a confession that they made. There was a confession that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, they were, we feel like strangers sometimes, don't we? You know, we sometimes wonder if we belong or where we belong. You know, and we feel a little uncomfortable. You know, I remember going as in my travels. I, as a young man, I traveled around the country, and I was in various countries by myself in a very strange land. And I remember walking into those places, and I was like, you know, I don't know if I belong here. I don't understand their language. I don't understand their money system. I don't even know how to order their food. You know, I was lost. I was a stranger. And when we do things, when we govern our lives by God's principles, we're a stranger in this world. In many, many ways, we are strangers in this world. Because the principles of God, they go contrary to many, many of the principles that we see hashed out and played out in this world every day. We're strangers. We're not here for this world and the things of this world. We're only doing a few of these things so we have something to exist on as we're passing through. As we're going through this life, we're involved in the business of this world. And, you know, we live here. We operate their vehicles and so on and so forth. But we're not here as a part of this country. We have a better one. You know, and we must keep our focus on that better, higher country and allow the light of the gospel to flow through us. You know, and it's not that we don't need to open our mouth. We do need to open our mouth for the gospel. But I would just like to encourage us this morning to, by faith, claim the promises of God and walk in it. Walk in them. Don't be discouraged. Walk in them. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, what a beautiful promise for His children. You know, it's not that we don't make any mistakes. It's not that we don't, we sometimes don't do it all right. But in the middle of all that, you know, as we're seeking God by faith, we're walking with Him. God looks down and He says, I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed. They're walking with me. They're doing the best they can. You know, and they have their eyes set on me. Their heart is fixed. Their faith is rooted on me. And God says, I'm not ashamed of them. Would we be ashamed of Him? He's not ashamed of His children. And how precious that is. You know, we can with confidence, you know, as we walk forward, as we go on through life, it doesn't all come out right. Sometimes we say it and later we're like, oh, why did I say it that way? I just don't think that came out right. You know, and we begin to be ashamed, you know, and we feel bad about ourselves and how we said it and how someone might have taken it, you know, and it's probably good for us to do some of those things. But God, when He looks down at us, He knows our hearts and He says, I'm not ashamed. He's my son. She's my daughter. You know, what a blessing we have that God, He's so personal. He just says, yes, He's my son. With joy, we can lift up our hearts and follow Him. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. There is a place prepared for us. You know, what a joy it's going to be. You know, even though life is difficult sometimes. You know, yet what a joy. We know that there's a city that is prepared for us. It's ready for you. You know, and that's that wedding city that we're talking about. You know, we don't know when it is, but it's coming. You know, for the last 2 weeks, you know, Eric was waiting and Dara, they were waiting for that wedding day. And it came. Bless God. You know, and it's one of these days it's going to come for us. Let's wait with anticipation and walk by faith, believing that it's coming and I'm going there and nothing is going to distract me because we're going to go towards that goal. There's a goal that we're going after, and that is of heaven. So this morning, in closing here, let us allow Christ. You know, as we close, think about what Christ has done for you in forgiving you, in cleansing you, and in washing you, and putting joy into your life, and bringing rest to your soul. And you allow those things to be a huge light bulb in your life as it flows out on others. As you give others, as you approach other people with the joy of the Lord and with forgiveness of their failures and shortcomings and the love that you have. When Christ is how He so loved us and gave Himself, you let that love flow out of you onto another. It'll be a tremendous light for the world. John 13 says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." If that love flows. You know, that love flows, can flow fairly easily in a fellowship, but sometimes out of that realm, you know, the love doesn't flow quite so easy. But Christ, us, while we were dead in our sin, dead in our trespasses and sins, He loved us. Can we love those that are dead in their trespasses and sins? Can we have a compassion and a love for others? It's a light that shines that cannot be hidden. It's a city that is set on a hill. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, as it goes through and talks about various things, and it says the greatest of these is love. And, you know, if we have allow the love of Christ to love the ones that aren't lovable, allow the love of Christ to love and reach out to those that are in desperate need, and some of those that sometimes we think they're beyond help, you know, and things just aren't going right, and they're doing this wrong, and they're doing that wrong. God knew when we were doing it all wrong too. He knew. He knew exactly how wrong we were doing it, and He still loved us. Let the light of love shine through our lives as we love others the way Christ loved us. Then the joy flows. You know, the joy does flow in our lives when we walk that way and we just allow Christ. We allow the Lord Jesus to be demonstrated completely and fully. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we do know that You do want to work in and through us. We do know that You want Your love demonstrated through us. You want a city that is set on a hill that clearly can be seen, that the gospel of Jesus can clearly be seen through it, around it, in it, every facet of it. So I pray, Father, that You would do that in all of us. Lord, cause us to step out in faith and in courage and allow that love to flow to others around us. Lord, I pray for this fellowship that You would bless and prosper their way. Pray You would bring encouragement to their hearts and joy in their hearts and be able to move forward in the fear of God. Lord, we want to this morning just see clearly, Lord, that home, that country that is so much clearer, so much better than this one, that clearly see that we're a part of another one that we're going to. And as we face this wedding supper, this marriage feast, Lord, I pray that You would cause us to be faithful to the end, Lord, as we meet that invitation, Lord, to have that supper there with our Jesus. Father, we ask that You would just prosper our day today as we fellowship together, be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for laboring in the Word. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." And then going down to verse 6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." I think that's what we've been hearing about this morning, a composite subject here, many things being said concerning being the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill should not and cannot be hid. May we take encouragement also from the general thrust of the message to take courage as individuals, take courage as a church, move forward, go on, do the work of God, submit to Him, His Word, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All right, someone else maybe have a testimony, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you and let you share a few words this morning. Up here, front. Brother David.
Brother Harold. I want to testify to the grace of God this morning. I pray that God would minister to my heart, and He has done that in a very, very simple and yet powerful way. The Word of God is quick and powerful. I praise God for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly, we're strangers and pilgrims here. We have a merciful God. I see it again and again. And oh, that we could just do as both the brothers said, to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and also to have that light. In fact, coming back from Haiti and thinking about myself being here, it was just a powerful challenge to my
Amen.
Own life to have that light, no matter who we are.
Amen.
And having gone through the earthquake, somehow the reality of life and the closeness of death is more real to me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our Jesus is going to come. And I want to be prepared, and I also want to be prepared to help others to get prepared too.
Amen.
Just a little comment yet on my life. People keep asking me, so I'm going to tell you as a group. I bought a one-way ticket back here. I don't know what the Lord has for me. I want to serve Him faithfully, whether I'm here, whether I ever go back again to Haiti. I don't know that. I will surely visit some. But I want to be a faithful servant of our dear Jesus.
Amen.
And it was difficult to leave. And just 2 weeks ago, I showed the slides to my dear Haitian friends that I'd showed here back in 2003. And they just were so overwhelmed and delighted. They wanted me to show them. I showed it to them twice. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed seeing, you know, the Pastor Matthew way back years ago. And I thought about the receptivity of their hearts. And then last Sunday, I had a chance to share just a brief message to try to encourage them and also to make the transition for leaving. Then I said to them, you know, you love your families, your fathers and your mothers and your brothers and your sisters and your uncles and your aunts and on down through. I said, I have children up here. I have grandchildren up here. I have great-grandchildren. I haven't seen some. So don't you want me to go back and see them? Yes, they do. And then they clapped. Yes. Then God gave me something else. And Pastor Levy came to me afterwards and blessed me for it. And I said, I don't have a house up here where I live. I have a house down here. And I said, it made me think about the homing pigeons. They have a house. They leave it. But they come back. Maybe I'll be a homing pigeon. I don't know. I also told them, you know, they don't need me. They need God. I don't need them. I need God, although we do need each other.
Yes.
And that's the way it is wherever we are. So I'd just like to encourage you all to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. That moment I stood out in that earthquake, it seemed like the end of the world to me momentarily. But one thing it did, it sharpened up the fact that life is that uncertain, and hundreds of thousands lost their lives. But as brother shared here this morning,
yes.
Brother Darwin, God is so merciful. Let's let that probe deep into our hearts. God bless you. I love you all.
Yes, thank you, Brother Harold, and do receive our welcome home as a church. To you visitors, Brother Harold has been a missionary in Haiti for the last 13, 14 years and has come home to make this his home again at this time. Not saying he may not travel back and forth at times when requested, but going to base his life again in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania here. So, welcome back, brother. Someone else? Over here, Luke Martin.
I thank God and thank you, brethren, for sharing the word with us today. I trust that you were both led of the Lord to share what you did with us this morning, and I want to be of good cheer and go on in the joy of the Lord and be a light for Jesus every day.
Thank you. Yes. Steve.
Yes, I just wanted to thank the church here for the hospitality we've received in the last couple of days. And I was thinking of the faithfulness of God as Darwin was sharing it afterwards. And I guess we would like to, as a family, express our thankfulness to all of the people that have come and helped us there in West Virginia. And I think that's another way of expressing the faithfulness of God. And so that light has shone, and I want to reassure you that effort is something that the neighbors have seen, and it has pointed them to Christ. I'm certain of that. And we wanted to greet you from West Virginia, we'll be heading back mid-afternoon today, so if you want to say hello to us, you'll need to do it quickly.
Amen. Thank you, Steve, being in our midst again.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.